Ever since I was a child, I've always enjoyed some of the classic comic strips in the newspaper, and among those that is still in syndication to this day is The Family Circus. And perhaps you all have seen those or appreciate that, which was originally done by a man named Bill Keane. He started publishing those back in the early 1960s, and to this day, his son Jeff Keane continues Family Circus in syndication throughout the country. But one of the things that Bill Keane said, a famous quote of his, and perhaps you've heard it, is this. He said, "Yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, today is a gift from God, and that is why it's called the present." Yesterday is a history, tomorrow is a mystery, and today is a gift from God, which is why they call it the present. This morning, as we have come to this season of Epiphany, this Sunday just following our Epiphany celebration yesterday, part of what I believe God has put on my heart to share with you this morning is this whole aspect of discovering our Lord, discovering Christ at His appearing, discovering Him in the present. In the present. You see, we've seen throughout, really since the Nativity celebration, this whole idea of searching for Jesus, of pursuing Jesus, first with the shepherds. Once His birth was proclaimed and heralded by the angels, the shepherds seeking Him and finding Him according to the word of the Lord through the angels, finding Him there lying in the manger. And then yesterday, as we celebrated the day of Epiphany, His appearing, we once again see this motif of a search. And in this case, this was the wise men, the Magi. These were Gentiles from the far east, who had discerned the astrological sign, who saw the star in the east, and they were able to discern that a king had been born, the king of the Jews had been born. And so they sought Him. And of course, after coming into Herod's court, they were the men, the learned men there said that this child would be born in Bethlehem. And there they continued their search, finding the young child over the place where the star was, presenting their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And we continue in this whole theme, this aspect, today, on this first Sunday after the Epiphany, but rather this Epiphany theme of Christ appearing and a subsequent search has a little bit of a twist. And in this case, we know, and it's an interesting account, because it's really the only, outside of the Nativity story, it's the only glimpse of Jesus that we get by the gospelers, the evangelists, in His childhood between birth and His adult ministry. So it's the finding the child Jesus in the temple. And we heard the gospel lesson this morning from St. Luke. The parents, Mary and Joseph, and their kinfolk, that is, much of all their family, presumably from Nazareth, had gathered together. They were going to be obedient to the word of the Lord and going to Jerusalem for the Passover. And there they celebrated the Passover. And then they started to head back home, and they got together in the caravan. And we know from the account that they'd gone a whole day's journey before they realized Jesus isn't here. And we know the anxiety and the fear this must have struck in the hearts of His parents, Joseph and Mary. And so they went back, and they searched diligently for 3 days. For 3 days, St. Luke tells us, and the fathers of the church also say that this 3 days of Jesus' absence from the Holy Family is a prefigurement of the 3 days that he would lie in the tomb. But after a three-day search, they finally found him in the temple. And he was questioning, asking questions of the doctors, the teachers of the law, these learned, wise men. And of course, and they were amazed at his questions. They were amazed at his responses. And his mother, Mary, in finding him, basically said, "Why have you done this to us, Jesus? We've searched for you sorrowful. We were grieved. Why have you done this?" And his response to his mother was simply, "Don't you know I must be about my Father's business? I must be about my Father's business." And we know that in verse 39, he says, "So when they had performed all these things according to the law, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." You see, there was a seeking. There was a seeking of his parents, but it was in their discovery. It was there in the temple, the place of the Lord, as established in the old covenant, him who was ushering in at his appearing, who was ushering in a new covenant, a new Israel. And even though there was not a full awareness of what was happening, Joseph and Mary, together with Jesus, the Son of God, there was a holy moment, a holy being in the moment together with the Lord, in which then the scriptures tell us that he was subject to his mother and father. And in verse 50 says, "But they did not understand the statement which he had spoken to them." And after going down, he was subject to his parents, but he's in verse 51, "But his mother kept all these things in her heart." Mary the Theotokos, even though she didn't understand what Jesus was trying to say, what he was trying to communicate, and having stayed there in the temple, his mother, the mother of our Lord, she pondered these things. She kept them in her heart. In other words, she remained in the moment. She remained present. She remained teachable. And this is what I believe that God is calling us to be present in the moment, to abide in the present. You see, history is certainly important, right? Yesterday and last year and the centuries past, they're important. History, after all, it teaches us. It's where the doctrines of the church lie. It's where the canonical scriptures were written. We learn from our mistakes of the past. But history is to be a place of reference and not a place of residence. It is when we begin to just pine for those earlier days, to abide in the past, the good old days, that we fail to live in the present. And certainly the future is important in the sense that we need to have a vision. We need to have a sense of where we are going. And we say time and time again, that especially as Orthodox Christians, we need to live eschatologically. That is to say, we need to live toward the final consummation of Christ's kingdom. We need to be looking and vigilant for his second coming. So in a sense, that is another place of reference. That is a place of focus, but we are not abiding there. And something that this story tells us in terms of living in the present and discovering our Lord comes out of the incarnation itself. And that is Jesus, in going into the temple, first of all, demonstrated his humility. You know, this was the God of the universe who knows all things, who in confronting and questioning these doctors of the law could have come in and set them all straight. He could have set up school and began to school those guys. But that's not what he did. In his humility and in his humanity, in the emptying of himself, the emptying of his own divine nature, but not giving up his divine nature, Jesus submitted to and deferred to their position as teachers, as scholars. Jesus deferred to his own place as a 12-year-old kid. Can you imagine a 12-year-old kid trying to tell a doctor or a professor what is right and what is wrong? He would be put off. He would be rebuffed. So Jesus, in his humility, instead of, he engaged them through questions. And it was by this means that they began to encounter truth. Truth which stood before them in the flesh and blood. And his parents, who had been searching and seeking for him for 3 days and finding him, said, basically, let's go home. And Jesus submitted to their authority. He who knew them before they were yet in their mother's womb, in his human nature, submitted. He humbled himself and was obedient. You see, this is where living in the present and thereby discovering the divine. To live in the present is to discover Jesus. The divine is the means by which we grow in wisdom and in grace. But you know, our world presents so many opportunities for us to not live in the present. We have become, in many ways, a very ADHD society. Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. We have so many ways, so many things that distract us. When things begin to become unpleasant and unsavory in life, we escape our fears, our anxieties, our tensions through all the ways that we can find escape. And that's what we're doing. We are escaping the moment. We are escaping the present. I can't imagine the difference between what it was when I was a kid growing up and the things that you could entertain and occupy yourself as compared to now. And if it's not games, electronic or otherwise, it's social media. It's all forms of entertainment that we never could have imagined 20 years ago. And we indulge ourselves with these means of escape. We separate ourselves from the moment. And we wonder why in our distractions we fail to have functional and healthy relationships. Why we fail to see Christ in the moment. Why even if we, in coming to Mass and liturgy, why we fail to be moved and challenged, why we fail to encounter the Lord who transforms and transfigures our lives. We're distracted. We're distracted people. We fail to live in the moment. I'm sure that all of you have probably experienced from time to time driving home from work or driving somewhere else and you're on autopilot and you get to your destination and you say, you know, I don't even remember a thing about driving home. And sometimes it's a little bit scary that we were that distracted. We were thinking about our mind was somewhere else. And it could be the same way even in Mass. We can come in and it's like, all right, it becomes an endurance test. I've got to get through this. Father James is going a little long again today. Let's get through this. Or let's get through communion and we fail to encounter our Lord. We fail to discover Christ who is before us, who transforms us. You see, our Lord in his divinity came into our humanity. And in his humility, in his deference to others, in those human institutions of authority, he gave up the right to be Lord over all. He submitted himself to his own humanity. And as a result, his divinity instructed, his divinity transfigured his humanity. It was within the context of family, holy family, that this happened. And so likewise for us, it is in our broken humanity, it is in our broken humanity in the context of family and human relationships by which we enter the divine, by which we are saved. This is why, for those of us who are married, our marriage is really a vocation of our salvation. We work out our salvation in the very sometimes tumultuous, unsavory, sticky human relationships. And it is our ability, to the extent that we can live in the moment, to live in the present, is the means by which we encounter our Lord. I must confess to you that after almost 31 years of marriage, again, I can only speak for myself, but that I'm only beginning to understand this. That is, whether it's a breakdown in communication, whether it's hurt feelings, it is almost always related to my failure to live in the moment, to have a heart of humility, to understand that my wife is a vessel of grace for my own salvation, to, even in the difficult moments of life and marriage, even when we have been offended and believe that we have a right to be upset or mad, we fail to live in the moment because we're only thinking about what we're going to say next, or how we're going to try to even the score. And so we extract ourselves from the present, and we fail to see Christ. We fail to see Christ. We fail to learn. We fail to be brought into the divine. Because we often, as a society, have not learned to abide in the present, we miss Jesus at every turn. In our pursuit for Jesus, yes, we can all say, I'm committed to Christ. I want to know him. I want to love him more and more. And Jesus says in return, then husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. Students, submit to your teachers. All people, submit to those in authority over you. You see, we've been put in a family circus, yes. And it's a circus, believe me, at times. But there is something very holy in discovering Christ in those moments. Even in the most painful moments, we discover Jesus. Unless you grew up in a profoundly dysfunctional or abusive home as a child, I think that most all of us will talk about some of our fondest memories as being those when we were preschool age children. Children like Michael Kerr or some of my granddaughters who are 2, 3, 4 years old. These were some of our most pleasant memories. You know why? Because children at that age only know how to live in the present. They only know how to live in the present, to discover the mysteries of life, to begin the learning, the wonderful things that happen. And even in the painful moments, that we might have memories of, there oftentimes is the memory of a mother soothing our skinned up knee, or a dad trying maybe those words of encouragement when we feel that we had failed in some area. Those are Jesus moments, even in the relationships of our lives. This is how God has ordered us as a result of the incarnation. And so we must humble ourselves like those children and once again learn to live in the present. In the present, for it is there, in having a humble and teachable heart, that we once again begin to discover Jesus in a new and real way. And it is there that we begin to be delivered from our own garbage, our own darkness, our own sin that keeps us in a place of stunted growth, that keeps us in a place of our own hell. Let us give thanks that Christ in his appearing has come such that we may discover him in all of these human relationships, in our church, in our family, and yes, even in the most bitter and difficult circumstances of life. For Christ has appeared. He is illumined. Let us go forth with that light into all the world, that they too may discover our Lord in the present. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.